It's our first actual podcast with a real estate professional. Jim's been named one of the 21 most influential people in real estate.
If I was going to define luxury today, I believe that our clients define it, and me too, is time. For me, the definition of luxury is time right now.
Hey guys, welcome to Closing the Coast, presented by our friends over at Southern Tide. I'll be your host, Dylan Staples, and this podcast will dive into entrepreneurship, investment, real estate, and a whole host of other topics. We're really looking forward to having you with us, so sit back, relax, and let's get into the show. All right, guys, so welcome back to another episode of Closing the Coast. We are joined here by the Jim Wahlberg. We're super excited. It's our first actual podcast with a real estate professional, and it's suiting that we start with one of the best there is in the industry. Jim's been named one of the 21 most influential people in real estate by Inman News, which is huge, and obviously one of the top producing agents in the entire Bay Area, works in a very, you know, interesting market in the East Bay and Danville, and does a lot of work there. So thanks for joining us, Jim.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
So I think it'd be interesting, being that you are the first practicing realtor, just to give us a little bit of background. Who are you? Who is the Bay Area team? How did you get started in real estate? Just give us a little bit of background on who is Jim Wahlberg.
Well, real estate really was a second career. My first career was starting an employee benefit company in San Francisco, grew it into a large company, and Transamerica Corporation bought it in 1985. During that period of time of running that company, my investment method was building spec houses. So I was not a contractor, but I had a whole team that ended up, we built 16 spec houses. So my introduction to residential real estate was as somebody that was hiring a realtor. I was completely disappointed with each of them and their performance. Never rehired the same realtor, and was pretty discouraged about that industry. After my five-year non-compete clause was over with Transamerica Corp, a friend of mine asked me if I would like to start a real estate company in Danville with him. He was a veteran of the industry, one of my best friends, and I said, absolutely not. I did not want to participate in residential real estate, and I told him why. And he said, I don't want you to be a realtor. I want you to be the managing partner and grow the company. He said, I'll be the broker. I'll be the realtor. And I said, the only way I'll do that is if we share an office and that your desk and mine are side by side so we could hear each other what we're doing. In that first 4 months, I witnessed one of the most amazing professionals in any industry. And I asked Dennis, I said, you know, I'd like to get my real estate license. And if this is what it's like, the way that you're practicing real estate, I'd like to do it with you. And that was 1990. In 2005, my wife, who was also a practicing real estate professional, and I started our own team. We did not start a brokerage, but we started a team. It's called the Bay Area Team, and that started in 2005. We're now a team of five. We have four other agents that are with us, and one of them we brought in as a partner. We have two support staff, and that's what our team looks like. We serve the East Bay of San Francisco Bay Area. There's six districts in San Francisco Bay Area, and we serve one of those districts in the East Bay. So geographically, we're about 20 miles southeast of Berkeley. So that's about our team and some of that background.
So I think what's really interesting, and I think a lot of people end up getting into real estate as a second career, as we know, we meet a lot of professionals that are getting into real estate as a second career. But I think what's most interesting about your story is you weren't looking for real estate. Real estate kind of found you, and you were actively not looking to get into real estate because of the experience that you had with a number of, let's call them professionals, but for you know, for lack of a better word, but their actual experience was everything but that with you. So I think that's a really interesting way. And I think as we go along this podcast, I think it'll show everyone that that's kind of shaped how you operate your business, why you've gotten so successful, because you operate your business completely different than, let's call it, the average approach to real estate, you know, because I think that's everybody's experience. I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of people in the common perception that people have about real estate is not that impressed because they deal with people and they've had those same experiences that you've had. So that's when they run across the Bay Area team and they experience, you know, a higher level of care. That's when, you know, their mindset shifts just like yours did. So I also want to give a little background as to how you and I know each other and rewind that tape, which was, you know, just over, I would say almost 3 years ago, I got a call from you about a client, and you had seen our stuff via channels with Compass. We're both at Compass, a fantastic brokerage. Obviously, we both really appreciate. But you gave me a call, and essentially, we're referring a client. And I think to that same point, the very different phone call that we had, because my team and I, we, you know, handle a number of referrals for people. And typically, the referring agent gives you a call, says, here's the person, here's their stuff, I'm going to set you up with an email, boom, end call, right? And you had a way different approach because of how you run your business. You know, Jim calls me, he says, hey, you know, I saw you, you know, obviously you're accredited, I've seen multiple streams where people have, you know, vouched for you. But then he did his own homework. He asked me important questions. He talked to me about the client, their needs, to make sure that we were actually a true good fit, because he wanted them to be handled with the same care that he handles them with, right? So I think that's an important and very valuable piece and why the Bay Area team operates differently, is that Jim doesn't just take on clients and service them, you know, at an average level. He takes them on service at a very high level. And we'll talk a little bit more about luxury, what that word means, and how that integrates into your business. But I want to ask you a couple questions first. Bay Area real estate market right now, what does it look like? What's the landscape? How is that, you know, changing? How is that evolving? Obviously, we've got larger economic stuff going on, but how is the East Bay of San Francisco right now at current?
Very interesting question. It has been a completely different experience since COVID. When COVID began, there was an interurban migration from Silicon Valley Peninsula to specifically Danville. It was specifically to Danville because of the Blue Ribbon schools. The buyers would not have to have their kids in private schools. It also is because our prices were half the price of the peninsula. It was twice the house, twice the lot size. It started during COVID. It was probably the largest demographic shift in Danville's history during those first 2.5 years. It has continued until today. So 85% or more of our buyers into the Danville market are from Silicon Valley Peninsula, San Francisco, for those same reasons. And it may be that the momentum that happened during COVID, there's so many of their friends that moved to Danville that they just said, well, we're going to go there too. So it's increased our price point, and it's increased the diversity in our community in ways that has never happened really in the since I've been in Danville since 1970. We're still in a seller's market. Right now, we have launched, I think, 17 different homes this year so far. All of those homes are in escrow. All of those homes went into escrow in 8 days or less. All but two of those homes had multiple offers and over asking. So when you talk about, you know, what's going on in real estate, it really has to do with your zip code. And I can I can let you know what's happening in the zip code in the East Bay, and it is, it's a rocket ride right now. And for instance, we have 9 in escrow right now that I don't even know what time it is or what day it is.
You guys are staying super busy, but that goes to the high touch nature of your of how you guys operate your team. So business is booming, and it has been, you know, essentially since COVID. Obviously, we've seen some, you know, as I talk to other professionals in the Bay Area, we've seen some little minute slowdowns, but not enough inventory has come back across, I would say, largely coastal California for us to really move back into that buyer's market where there's enough supply for them to be choosy about, you know, which house they want or, you know, what price point they're going to buy at. So it's been a huge momentum shift. So how is, you know, we talk about this word luxury, and I think in real estate, as we look at, you know, different articles that come out and different, you know, people, as soon as you get into real estate, you see these people pop up on social media as a luxury realtor, right? Like it's this just kind of word that's lost a lot of its luster. And I think it's lost a lot of its, you know, impact. But if we go back to really, what does it mean? How do you define luxury? I watched another podcast with Jim that he's done. And I think you had a really poignant way of describing how you guys operate as a team and how what you guys define as luxury and the experience that you guys provide. So I'd be interested to hear how does that differ from everybody else that's selling, let's call quote unquote luxury real estate in Danville and the greater East Bay?
This is a great question, Dylan. We are not in the luxury business. We are in the business of helping families transition from one location to another. It doesn't matter what the price point is. We are here to help families. It does happen that over these past 35 years, our price point has evolved into being somewhere around $2.5 million. It's not because of us. It happens to be because of our zip code. But we're helping first-time homebuyers of our clients' kids get into houses. So price point is not an issue with us. It's not something we focus on. We focus on how is it that we can help those that are interested in getting into real estate or selling real estate to transition from one location to another. If I was going to define luxury today, I believe that our clients define it, and me too, is time. For me, the definition of luxury is time right now. It's not about a Rolls Royce. It's not about a Rolex watch. It's not about Ferragamo shoes. It's about time. And anything that our team can do to streamline the experience of buying or selling a home that saves these folks time or honors their time is in the category for us of luxury. So I don't know if that is the answer you expected, but that is that's our viewpoint on it.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's a really great answer to that question. I think the misconception, or at least maybe it's the modern understanding of luxury, that it's a price point, that it's the top 10% of your market, that it's all these different things. But I think when folks and specifically people in the industry focus on that, how do I get a $10 million listing? What they're not focusing on is the right questions. And those are the things that you're answering for your clients and why you've built a very successful business is luxury is the experience. It's how does that person feel when they call Jim? Do they feel like they've gotten their questions answered? Do they feel like he values their time and honors that? Do they feel like everything has been kind of taken care of for them so they don't have to worry about these issues? That's true luxury. When you talk to people across all price points, that's what they want out of the experience. And I think when you focus on price point, you lose that whole focus of how do I provide the absolute best experience to my clients, which is what you've built your entire business, the backbone of your business on. So that is exactly the answer I was hoping you would give, because I know that's how you guys operate. So what are you seeing in terms of the next year, 2 years? Do you guys focus on how does the market look in the next year or two, or are you guys focused primarily on how to assist your clients day to day, week to week?
Well, it's probably two different answers on that question, Dylan. The real estate market, the equity markets, hate uncertainty. And we're in the midst of a massive moment of uncertainty in our country. The benefit that we have in the Bay Area is that, amazingly, we are pretty isolated from what's happening in the rest of the world. If you drew a circle around the Bay Area, it's really dominated by the tech industry. We so far seem to be bulletproof. Never did we imagine that NVIDIA would be one of the drivers right now in the Bay Area. So from a future looking, we're only looking at our stats over the last 35 years. I don't look at next year. Our stats tell us that the highest price point of the year in 2025 will be in the first quarter for people that are selling their houses. We know that by July 15th, our community seems to exit and everybody goes on vacation. It's almost like Europe in August. Our market re-energizes the week after Labor Day. And of the four quarters of the year, the first quarter and the fourth quarter happen to be the most active. I only know that because of the last 35 years of statistics. But I don't. I really don't have a thought about next year or the following year.
That's a great perspective. Is to look back and guide people with the past 35 years. I think everybody, the anxiety and the angst that we felt over the last, I would say since COVID started, we've had this very big, large buildup of anxiety and angst. Just nationally and with people in their personal lives and relationships. And I think it's always this looking forward of, oh my gosh, I don't know what's next. And I think that the perspective of looking back, seeing what's been and guiding people on that is a really good format. Not trying to predict the future, not getting out your magic eight ball to say that this is what's going to happen in Q3 of 2026. But just saying, hey, based on our experience, and we've got a lot of it at the Bay Area team, Jim's got a lot of experience. I've sold real estate for a long time. This is what, we've seen year over year. This is what happens. The kids get out of school. People go on vacation. They're not focused on buying a house. So if I can guide you, it's before then or after, you're going to have the best results. So what a great outlook. And you guys have some absolute blue chip marketing that you guys put out, your website, you've been on podcasts, you've been, all of these things, you've got, excellent people on your team that do the marketing. So how does your marketing and how you guys represent properties, how does that differ from, let's say, another, top producer in your marketplace?
I have to tell you, I don't know. I can tell you about our marketing. We have 1,500 families in our database that we have served. That group to us is priceless. We touch that group. We have a system in place where that group is touched by us over 40 times a year. We tell them we're like a bad cold. We are never going away. And that 1,500 families are the ones that really support our business. We've had probably 95% of are the people that we're serving are referred to by those 1,500 families, friends, family, helping them. That I think the average number of transactions we've had per member of our database is probably 5 or 6. I'd say that the thing we do best is our consistency of touching our database. That comes in a form of handwritten notes, of phone calls. I have a discipline of calling three of our folks in that database every day, just checking in. Postcards, special events. We've got a big shredding event next month that's coming. It's our annual shredding event. We have our pie event. We have a martini Friday event at our house. So we're just very, very involved with those 1,500 families. And I'm not sure how others handle their marketing, but that is that's a snapshot of what we do.
So further on that, you know, obviously there's the secret sauce, and we don't need to get into to exactly how it's made, but the end result is properties, you know, those families are trusting you and they call you and they say, hey, Jim, you know, we've got to move for whatever reason. Maybe we need a bigger house. Maybe we're downsizing. Maybe we're got a new job offer and we want to be closer to this area or what have you. But they call you and then that house is getting prepped and getting on the market, sold in 8 days. And I think I'm not exactly who put it so poignantly, but a lot of people, you know, the social media things go out, sold in 8 days. They don't see all of the process that takes to get to that sold in 8 days mark, right? To them, it's, wow, Jim just threw a property up on the, you know, hit me on Zillow, there's some pictures of it, and you know, it's sold. Walk us through, because I know you guys are heavy in, you know, getting properties ready for the market so they can sell in 8 days. I think that's a very big difference. So walk us through, hey, Jim, I called you. I've been in this house for the last 25 years. We've loved it. It's our family home, but I haven't done anything to it. And I want it to have that same result. I want multiple offers. I want it to sell quickly and I want the highest price. Walk us through all of the nitty gritty that you guys have to take on to make sure that that result is the best for your clients.
Dylan, if somebody contacted us with that script that you just presented to me, we're going to dig a little deeper to find out if it's true. Because if it's true, they're going to have to spend sometimes up to 4 months to get their home prepped for its launch. One of the things that we're known for, our team is known for, is that the houses that we launch are generally in turnkey condition. Because of that, they get the highest price possible, multiple offers, and it takes months sometimes of very diligent work for us to do that. I never dreamed that we really were going to be project managers, sometimes construction project managers. I never dreamed that. Fortunately, Anne-Marie, my wife and business partner, is the person that is our project manager for these projects. And she just runs them like a military operation. We have an entire game plan mapped out, entire calendar mapped out, drop-dead calendar dates that things must be done, and she manages it all. But it is not putting a sign in the yard and getting multiple offers. It is a really behind-the-scenes, very hard work that's done by our team to end up launching a turnkey house.
Yeah. Reputations are not built overnight. And I think you're a testament to that. I think what's interesting, and maybe you can expound a little bit upon this, you kind of touched on it. The team method has evolved in real estate. You know, when I was growing up and my parents were doing real estate and everything, and I'm sure for the first part of your career and you looked around, primarily sole practitioners operating real estate businesses. And we've moved to this methodology of the team. And I think you just, you know, hit the nail on the head for why that is important, right? You have different skills and talents that you were born with, that Anne-Marie has different ones, that Julia has different ones, that people on your team have different skills and talents that they were born with, but the collaboration of the whole is what creates the success, right? I think a lot of people look at real estate and they go put the sign in the front yard. When you consider you have to be a project manager, a contractor essentially managing, you know, subs and their independent relationships that you have to, you know, nurture, managing the client relationship, managing the other subcontractors that come from the real estate side of things, managing other agents as they come through, managing the, you know, potentially all your other clients at one time. It's a lot going on for one person. And to be able to do all of those things at the same level as a team may not be, you know, achievable. So I'd love to hear kind of your perspective as somebody that's seen the industry evolve into this team method and somebody that's also taken kind of that method and run with it as to why that might be the most successful.
Dylan, I don't know how I would be practicing real estate today without our team. I would probably cash it in and go off sailing somewhere. Our team is right now a really well-oiled machine. And each of our team members have their skills that they bring to our clients, and we all support each other. During COVID, it was really demonstrated to us that how important the team was. As you know, I think it was March 16, 2020, all offices were closed. We made a decision as a team to be our own bubble, and we were in the office every day without anybody there. Where it was probably, I know that our brokerage probably wasn't happy about that, but we were there every day throughout COVID. And I don't think that we would have had the results during COVID without the collaboration of our team. I'm so proud and so grateful for each of the members that are part of the Bay Area team. And you were talking about Julia. Julia has been just a bright light brought into our team, where she started off as an intern between her junior and senior year at Gonzaga. And she's ended up being absolutely indispensable. And her young mind, starting out with us at 21 and she's now 27, has really changed the whole fabric of our team. So it's also important to make sure that we get some new and fresh ideas in that are different than mine and different than Anne-Marie's or Carlin's. But Julia has been really a bright light.
Yeah, I think I'm in complete agreement with you. The team method is a way that everybody can balance each other. People can balance each other's, you know, approaches to life, to approaches to real estate. Because at the end of the day, when we operate with our clients, these are lives, right? It's our life intertwined with theirs and trying to, you know, improve theirs. And so I think when people have different perspectives, it only behooves the client, right? And it only makes their experience better that, hey, you know, you have somebody that you can lean on that's going to be interacting with you for the project management. And we have somebody that's brings a unique perspective to social media that's, you know, somebody that's maybe grown up around it and utilizing it and staying on top of how those trends and ideas change so that we can yield the best possible result for your sale, right? Because that's what they care about. So run me through. So you've got Anne-Marie, we've got Carla, we've got Julia, we have yourself, and there's a new team member or partner. Is that correct?
Yeah, Tanya Teka. Tanya is another just a fabulous addition. We were not looking to expand our team. She is someone that I met the first week she came in from Seattle, moved down here. She has a successful practice up there. And 2 years ago, she approached us of joining our team, and we were looking. And we had a lot of discussions and a lot of team discussions, and we decided to bring her in, and it's been just wonderful. So Tanya has been a fabulous addition.
Yeah, I think I was... I can't remember the exact number of years, but I think I had actually called Julia after you guys had announced that and just said, hey, you know, our team's kind of maneuvering, we're positioning. How has that been? How has the transition been? What are some things that, you know, you guys have done to make sure that ensured that's smooth? And she gave me some great insight on that. And I think that that's a super cool. I want to pivot a little bit in the same vein of collaboration that you guys operate with in your team. Tell me a little bit about you know, your involvement. Obviously, you're huge in the Realm community. You're very, very well known in the Compass community. So tell me about collaboration, not only on your obviously your team level and your hyper local level in Danville and the greater East Bay, but tell me about how you collaborate with other professionals to kind of push forward your own business and theirs.
Another great question, Dylan. Thank you. I'm going to answer the question. I'm going to kind of wander around a bit, but I am going to answer the question. One of the things that we are very focused on is when our clients are moving out of this area, to make sure that they connect up with a similar experience that our team delivers in the world of real estate. Because of that, we need to know where they're moving and who are those professionals in those cities that we would probably categorize as similar to our team experience. So we've worked really hard over these past years to find those key professionals, because, and it may seem odd, but probably 95 or 99% of the people selling houses in Danville are actually leaving California. I think our average age of our seller is 62 years old. They're not rebuying in California because of the way our property tax system is set up. And they're moving out of state. This really happened in dramatic fashion during COVID. Our connection with Realm has been amazing, because I think there's 600 members of Realm globally. And it's really easy to connect up with the Realm members that are in those feeder cities that our clients are going to. Because of those, and we treat those realtors, Dylan, as if they are our clients. They're in our database, they're on our newsletter, they receive our postcards. We just treat them as if they are part of our clients. So that way they're very aware of what's happening in our marketplace. I think in the last 5 years, we've probably averaged over $100,000 in referral fees from referral out. So those relationships with those folks in the feeder cities are critical to us. And it may seem callous, but our clients are not going to, they're not going to St. Louis. They're not going to Lexington, Kentucky. I mean, there's cities that they're not going to. So our entire focus is on the feeder cities and those professionals that we feel would provide a similar experience that our team would to a client.
Right. And developing true relationships and that confidence that you know when you send that client, they're going to get that same high touch experience as they do when they sell their property, you know, with you guys locally and they move elsewhere. I think a lot of people tout, oh, I've got contacts, you know, here, there, and everywhere. But do they know those people, right? Like, what do they know the first thing about those people? Probably not. You know, they say, oh, I've got people in New York, Miami, everything. The difference, I think, and, you know, if you look at, you know, Jim and the Bay Area team on social media and you follow them, they're connecting with these people. They're going to events to be in person, to interact, to learn more, to socialize, to really understand who they're referring business to. They're going to the Compass retreats, they're going to the Realm retreats, and they're getting a very precise view. Like you said, you're not trying to build this kind of, you know, one size fits all approach. Your clients are methodical, and so are you, and you're looking for those exact professionals that meet your standard, not just to have everybody, you know, under your own umbrella. So you guys have obviously, we've said it a number of times so far, but you've built a very, very successful business in real estate. If Jim was starting all over again, what advice would you give yourself to starting in real estate? What are those things that you would do differently at the beginning to kind of bring you to where you are now, but maybe at a little bit faster pace?
Another great question, Dylan. I'm asked this question probably every week by people thinking about coming into our industry. Yeah, I would do it much different than I did in 1990. I would find a team and figure out a way to become indispensable for that team. And by indispensable, I mean whatever it is that you can do to add to the success of a team, figure out what you can contribute and do it really well. It may be that you're at first putting out open house signs. I have no idea, but you need to associate with the team. I don't know how a solo practitioner could could get into our industry today and be successful. The statistics are pretty awful. In our board of realtors, there's 4,500 members, and 70-some percent of those members did not have one closed escrow in 2024. I mean, that's just, it's really a not a good reflection of our industry. So to start as a solo practitioner, I don't know how financially one could survive. I'd find it really a great team and make yourself indispensable.
That is the exact same thing that I say, and the exact same experience I've had. And it's ironic that even the people, if you look at the trends in real estate now, you look at the top producing agents in every market, and although a lot of them have maintained their branding as so-and-so real estate, if they are a what we call a solo practitioner, they typically have a full team of people that still support them. There are very, very few people that are able to be successful and compete with teams that are true solo practitioners that don't have any sort of support that goes with it, because this industry just requires you to be a marketing person, a project manager, like we talked about. But I think that's a great way to get started. And it's a great way to learn the business. I mean, I think a lot of people don't understand that taking the real estate courses for this state and taking the test is such a small percentage of what this job truly entails. And being able to learn from someone and kind of understand the business on a deeper level while providing a service that's indispensable, as you say, is actually, I think, the route to getting into the industry. So tell me a little bit more about kind of your business, what it looks like over the next few years, and the legacy that you kind of want to embark on, leaving with the Bay Area team and all of those things that you know, transition into the future entails.
Well, we had set up the Bay Area team name in 2005 with the idea of it not being a personality name. A personality name is pretty impossible to have it be a legacy business. So we very purposefully chose the Bay Area team as the name of our team, with the idea at some point it may be something that we would be able to sell. What I know is going to evolve over the next several years is that one of our team members is going to end up taking over and buying Anne-Marie and I out. I don't imagine that we'll become invisible with the team, but you know, from a responsibility standpoint, it may be a lot less. Maybe I would be the face of the team emeritus, but not with some of the 14-hour days that we're living right now. But we are actively in the process of figuring out the design of what that looks like to transition somebody to buy our practice out.
And that was done with the intention, which is absolutely wonderful foresight that you had at that time, to build a recognizable brand that people in your market understand as that, you know, experience we've talked about, that is something that somebody can take over, that doesn't have to incur a massive brand, you know, creation to redevelop what you've already built, which is an experience for your clientele. And I think that that's fantastic. I think that what you've built and what you've created as team expectations is that's how clients are serviced, and that people will continue to buy into that brand long after you're sailing around the world and enjoying time with, you know, Anne-Marie and all the different countries and all the new passport stamps you guys will have. The brand of the Bay Area team will no doubt live on and continue to flourish in your marketplace because of all of the steps you've taken to build your legacy. I know there's a lot of agents that might be in your, you know, in your same position where they're looking at the next 5, 10, 15 years even in some cases and going, how do I build out a legacy and build out, you know, the transition for myself? And there's not really a guidebook to that in our industry. You know, there isn't anybody that's published a book saying, here's how to transition out of being a team lead in real estate. So I think what you've been able to do and your intention is going to be very, very fruitful in that transition. And I think everybody that's worked with you and worked with your team will continue to do so. But we definitely recognize that.
Let me interrupt you for a second, Dylan. The challenge about the transition out is the critical part is having that person that buys us out transition them into having the trust card that we have with our 1,500 families. If we just left without them integrated into our business and them also getting that trust card from our 1,500 families, our business would actually be worthless. So we have a very specific structure and game plan for that transition that at some point, if you or your viewers would like a copy of that, I'd be glad to send it to them. Again, there's no roadmap for the real estate industry to do this, but we've created a structure that we think is one that's going to work really well.
Everything, I think the hallmark of this episode with you and your business is everything is done with intentionality, right? It's everything is done with the idea of what are the repercussions of this? How do we solve these problems from emails with clients to their issues to what are our personal goals and aspirations for our own lives and how do we successfully transition that business? It's not, that's a 10-year from now problem. It's a, let's solve that and integrate this person into our business so our clients, you know and trust them and love them just like they know and trust and love us. That's something that I think myself and my partners and when we look at successful examples of people that have built a business, created that trust, and obviously have a full framework of how to build, grow, scale, and also transition. I think you guys are a very, very good example of that for the real estate industry. And we're definitely appreciative of your example that you've been able to set.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. This has been really insightful. I think, you know, anybody watching from a consumer to an agent to anybody that stumbles upon this video will find some absolute value in the things that you've been able to kind of communicate in the example that you've set. They're all over social media, all over the internet. If you look up Jim Wahlberg's name, the Bay Area team, any of this, you'll find tons of collateral on these guys and really great examples again of how to operate as a business, how to operate as real estate professionals. And if you are at all looking for somebody in the East Bay to service you at the highest level, these are the people without a shadow of a doubt. So thank you again, Jim, for coming on and we really appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Dylan. Thank you for the invitation.
All right.